Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Roger Lilly, energy analyst. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Yeah, shalom. Good morning. Thank you for joining me, inviting me to your show, Howard. How are you doing?
I am doing very, very well. So, of course, we're still battling with this whole what's the way forward business. Coal is problematic. It seems to get wet every time Eskom needs it. Then, of course, there's the whole nuclear power discussion. Give us a sense of if this is real and possible.
Yes, so let's ask the question, why nuclear as opposed to other generation technologies like coal, like renewable energy, hydrogen and so on, natural gas and whatever. Why is the government so determined to go for nuclear? Well, I'd like to answer that question with four E's.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, the first thing is a case of energy security. One of the big pluses of a nuclear power plant is the fact that it sits there quietly and just keeps running year after year. You refuel them about once every 3 years, and then you just walk away from them. They just run without any problems. They're not dependent on the weather. They're not dependent on wet coal. They don't have those sorts of problems. So for that purpose, you know, from an energy security perspective, a nuclear power plant produces power continuously. It meets the minimum requirements because every electrical system has a minimum requirement. There's a certain amount of electricity which must remain there no matter what. Even when everybody's turned everything off, there still has to be a certain amount of electricity in the system. We call that base load.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be there. And nuclear is a great supplier of that kind of electricity. Secondly, then, let's have a look at the environmental perspective. Nuclear is clean burning. It emits no pollution at all. So it's great, except what do we do with the nuclear waste? Now, in South Africa, we already have a problem with nuclear waste because the existing nuclear waste site is full. And Eskom are now looking for another site to place medium-grade waste, which is still quite dangerous. Medium-grade waste is still very dangerous.
Right.
You don't want people to have that in their backyard. So there's an environmental perspective towards making nuclear attractive, although there is this problem with nuclear waste. And then, of course, there's the economic question, and this is where it gets very sticky. Because we've got to ask the question, how much is it going to cost? Who's going to pay for it? And perhaps even more intriguing is who is going to build it? Because that's going to affect what it's going to cost.
Right.
Unfortunately, we know that the current government in power has interests with our friends in Russia, and therefore it's likely that the Russians would be the ones building the nuclear power plant. And we are aware from the media reports and reports that have come from the Zondo Commission and elsewhere that the relationship is anything but squeaky clean. And so there are big concerns regarding the economics of it. So from a technical perspective, nuclear is a great solution for generating electricity for South Africa. From an economic position, it's a big concern because these contracts are always signed behind closed doors with foreign nations. There's lots of money that goes in all sorts of pockets where it doesn't belong there, which the electricity user, that is you and me, end up paying for. But then, to me, the bigger of all of those three questions is the issue of the electricity crisis. The electricity crisis means that we need the electricity now, not in 10 to 15 years' time after we've built the nuclear power plant. And to me, that is what puts nuclear out of the question for South Africa, because we simply do not have the time, never mind the money, we don't have the time to wait for a yet another mega power plant to be built somewhere in the country. Tastepunt is one area that they're talking about. So there are other questions like what sort of generation system would we get? Would we get the latest generation 3 or 4 system, or would we get some old thing? Who knows? Because it depends who's going to build it.
Right. But
to me, that's the concern. And the Derrida has said again and again and again, he needs an additional 4,000 to 6,000 megawatts. Now, the interesting thing is that the renewable energy industry has already given him 5,900 megawatts of extra power, which Eskom never had before. he doesn't seem to count that into his calculation. He keeps saying he needs another 4 to 6, but we've already given him almost 6.
Right.
So there's some very big questions that go on around this. And together with that is one of those, perhaps is the biggest question, is what about our existing nuclear plant, which really spends most of its time offline? You know, it has 2 units. At any one time, there's only ever 1 running. The other one's off for some reason, whether it's maintenance or refueling or a breakdown or an inspection. There's always some reason why one of the 2 units are not running. There's very rare times that both are running simultaneously, and they're supposed to be both running simultaneously, consistently, except for a short period where it is shut down for inspection, refueling, a bit of maintenance, and switched back on again. But the way we do it here, it's a concern. And now we want to spend all this money, something like 20 billion rand, in order to upgrade the existing plant and extend its life. Now, here's my worry, Howard. We're talking about a Generation 1 ancient design system. It's all analog. There's no digital system to convert it. We've now got to go digital because you won't get those analog systems anymore. It's going to probably take too long, cost far more than 20 billion. And at the end of the day, all you've got is a rejuvenated ancient old thing. I think 20 billion could be spent better in new generation plants using natural gas initially by converting some of the existing coal-fired power stations, and secondly, by having an even greater impetus, getting private sector to give us more wind and solar power for the country. And these mitigations will end load shedding, no question about it. But there has to be political will, and there has to be a real desire at Eskom's position to implement these technologies.
Are you seeing a political will?
No, I'm not. I'm very concerned about our Minister of Energy because he waxes hot and cold. He will go to a international conference, which was held in Cape Town 2 months ago, and spoke glowingly about renewable energy. But he's no sooner back in his office and delaying tactics that no new or very little new renewable energy comes on board. And just as we start getting frustrated, all of a sudden he signs
something.
Window number 6.
That's exactly, yeah. And it's almost difficult to read. Very, very, because he is saying all the right things, but just not getting there. Because in fact, one of our listeners saying, I've got a clean energy system using the sea, very low investment, low production cost, but I just can't get an appointment with anybody. Is that a common problem?
I'm not sure who he's trying to talk to, but the people he needs to talk to is the IPP office and stay away from the minister or the DM and RE completely. He must rather contact the IPP office. If he Googles IPP office, he will find it online, and the contact details are there, and maybe that'll help him. I hope your listener is listening today.
I'm sure that he is. It is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. We do have to leave it there. Roger Lilly, LNG analyst, talking to us about nuclear power as an alternative to coal-generated electricity.